Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We are sponsored this morning in Kale and Company News Live by American Heritage Credit Union this morning. And yes, Leocora Center, packed yesterday, raucous crowd. You'll hear Nick Cale's big take on all of that. But Harris and Walls making their first joint appearance as running mates during that huge Temple rally. Again, Philadelphia, the focus nationally, all the media here, and Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, as I called it yesterday, Pennsylvania Passover, but was gracious and really received that huge ovation from the crowd there. And so we'll be talking about that this morning, the media analysis of it. Mayor Sherelle Parker on Live with Jake Tapper on CNN, and that was a bit of a treat. J.D. Vance holding his own rally in South Philadelphia, all that reaction. We also have a 17-year-old killed, several other people injured following that crash in Whitehall Township. Lehigh County officers, coroner, identifying that victim is Javian Rivera, Lower McCungie Township. That crash happening overnight on Orchard Drive. Police say the driver losing control of the car, striking a pole, flipping over, horrific accident. And in this, the 17-year-old was ejected from the vehicle, died at the scene.
Oh, wow. You said Orchard?
Yes.
I know exactly where that is. Yeah, Lehigh Valley, Whitehall.
So we have a lot of bad accidents, a lot of slipping and sliding, a lot of flooded roadways. Just can't stress enough to drive safely.
And put the phone
down.
Slippery.
Well, you know what you made me think of when you said that just now is that Pennsylvania, we just passed the law, finally, hands-free. So that's a piece of this, that's an extra ticket.
Right.
Just a heads up on that one. So the heavy rains, flooding, leading to all of these problems, and that's really across our region. Finally, before I just give you a quick forecast, I did want to let you know, Shark! It really was.
I saw that.
Jaws. Did you see this?
Yeah, in Cape May, right?
Yes, yeah. Cape May.
Yeah, there's
and
a picture of
a great white.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, yeah. It looks like Jaws. I mean, people were going crazy on the beach talking about this. So yesterday afternoon, it was still nice, like 3 o'clock-ish in Cape May.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And this is, it looks huge.
Okay. And
huge,
it was
great.
Close to the shore?
Yeah.
Did he bite anybody?
No. So they
said. Have to call Matthew Hooper if he did.
I know. Well, the funny thing is, one of the beach patrol staff said, you know, you're swimming amid sharks all the time. You just don't know it.
Oh, of course you are.
I don't think that's reassuring.
Uh-huh. Well, my daughters just went down to Wildwood on Monday. My wife's, one of her girlfriends took them down while she's working up at Music Fest, so they were down there, and they were all worried as they were driving down, texting my wife, are there sharks in the water? What about the jellyfish? And I'm like, Kristen, you did tell them there's sharks everywhere, right? She's like, no, I didn't tell them that. They'll never go in if I tell them that. Just saying.
But they did not see
anything. No. But if you've ever seen the aerial footage of the choppers above the beach, you see the sharks swimming around right while everybody's just having a good old time.
Oh, my God.
I'll hang out on the sand. I'm good.
Yeesh. Well, with Phils are good, too. 6-2 against the Dodgers. So we eked out a win.
Oh, that's nice.
That's yeah.
What are we, 4-13 our last 17?
Hey. You're only as good as your last show.
Well, they win the if the Dodgers and the Phillies, what I hear, if the Dodgers and the Phillies end up with the same record at the end of the season, the Phillies win the tiebreaker.
That's
because winning yesterday's game.
Okay.
Because we're prettier.
Right. And the season series is over with them now? I'm assuming that's the
regular?
Yeah. They won't be playing each other again the rest of the regular season?
No. Well, they have the rubber match game today.
Okay. Is that a getaway day? Can I actually watch that game, or is that going to be another 10:40 first pitch?
It's 10:10, yeah.
God, I hate the West Coast.
Yeah. But you know, we love American Heritage Credit Union. Buying a home with My CU Home Connection Program through American Heritage Credit Union, you unlock exclusive cash rewards, benefits, discounts. So learn more, AmericanHeritageCU.org/HomeConnection. This is American Heritage Credit Union, insured by NCUA. Not a member? Just join today. NMLS 43-38-38. You're going to love the forecast today. 77 degrees, sunny skies with, yes, clouds, but lower humidity. We're not going to feel the tropical feeling of the sauna. Not going to have that. So enjoy 77 today and tomorrow. And then coming in Friday, the remnants of Debbie, which is obviously now a tropical storm. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:11 on this Wednesday morning. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Ah, tickets are punched as Kamala gives the GOP a gift. It's official. It'll be Donald Trump and J.D. Vance against Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. The news coming down as we wrapped up the 8 o'clock hour of Kale and Company on Tuesday morning, as both Kamala Harris and J.D. Vance were in Philadelphia for rallies. Call it left and lefter, call it woke and woker, call it a big fat thank you from the Democrats to the Republicans. When somebody tells you who they are, you should listen. Kamala Harris is who we thought she was, a far-left progressive radical raised by a Marxist father, somebody who uses the term equity as code for socialism. Had Kamala Harris selected Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, which I would have, I believe it would have given her the Keystone State and put her one step closer to winning the 2024 election. But in my opinion, she allowed identity politics, anti-Semitism, pressure from the progressive squad Dems and the lunatic left fringe that support BLM riots, defunding the police, open borders, COVID freedom restrictions, and pro-Palestinian protests to force her hand away from Shapiro and towards Walz. Here was Kamala Harris yesterday releasing this video on social media as she confirms the reports that Tim Walz would be her running mate. Listen and watch this.
Hi, this is Tim.
It's Kamala Harris. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Madam Vice President.
Listen, I want you to do this with me. Let's do this together. Would you be my running mate and let's get this thing on the road?
I would be honored, Madam Vice President.
The joy that you're bringing back to the country, the enthusiasm that's out there, it would be a privilege to take this with you across the country.
Well, let me tell you, I have just the utmost respect for you. I have really enjoyed our work together. You understand our country. You have dedicated yourself to our country in so many different and beautiful ways. And we're going to do this. We're going to win. And we're going to unify our country and remind everyone that we are fighting for the future for everyone. So let's get out there and get this done, okay?
Let's do it. Do the work in front of us. Let's win this thing.
That's right. All right, buddy. I'll see you soon. Take care. Thank you.
Ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
What is it with Democrats and Harris specifically where they feel the need to always be videotaping while they're on speakerphone? Weird. You'll hear from both of them in Philadelphia last night as we move forward this morning and on the cut sheet at 7:45. But does Walz move the needle for the middle class, for middle America, out in the rural sections of the country? And can he deliver the Rust Belt? Can he be a Rust Belt savior for Kamala? Much like Trump is hoping J.D. Vance will be in the battlegrounds like Wisconsin, Michigan, and of course, Pennsylvania. If past performance is an indicator, the answer is no. But don't take that from me. Here's MSNBC's election polling guru, Steve Kornacki, showing how Walz doesn't resonate outside of the Twin Cities of Minneapolis. Listen and watch this clip.
This is Stearns County. This is in greater Minnesota. This is similar to a lot of the terrain you see in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Walls lost this by 23 points. How does that compare to Joe Biden in 2020? Joe Biden lost the same county by 23 points. How does that compare to Hillary Clinton in 2016? Hillary Clinton lost it by 28 points. And now here's the key, because this county, Democrats used to be much more competitive in. Look at this. In 2012, Barack Obama won 43% of the vote in this county. It was only a little bit more than 10 points that he lost to Romney by here. The floor fell out for Democrats here when Trump came along in that Clinton race in 2016, and they haven't recovered it since. And then in the rest of greater Minnesota, small town Minnesota, where the Democrats have been losing ground, Walls performed basically just like Biden did as well. So, you know, look at his electoral history. Tim Walz is in 2022, and the idea that he's got this automatic appeal with these small town areas in those three key battleground states, you don't see it in what he actually did on the ballot in 2022. Now, that doesn't mean it can't happen. You know, see how this story, once it gets told, how it does it resonate with voters? Does it act? I mean, you have no idea of knowing when these things start. But what we can look at here is what he's actually done as a candidate in Minnesota. And honestly, when you look at Walz's victory in 2022 in Minnesota, it looks like Biden's victory in Minnesota in 2020, not a different coalition.
And that right there is why I believe he's a gift to the GOP. He's so left that Gavin Newsom is right of him. And that's a hard feat to pull off. And what makes him the most dangerous progressive governor in America is actually the receipts, the history. Here was Walz in 2020 during the BLM riots. Listen and watch this clip.
A society that does not put equity and inclusion at the center of it is certainly going to eventually come to the places where we're at. This is a moment of inflection. It's a moment of real change. It's a moment that those folks who are out there demanding this are not going to take a commission or a report. They're going to want fundamental change. And that is what I think, that's one of the exciting things in the midst of all this. You can feel a sense of optimism coming back.
Weird. But you know what? He's got the talking points memorized, right? Equity and inclusion. I'd argue that a society that doesn't put meritocracy and capitalism first is doomed to fail. Have you ever seen people fleeing capitalistic societies for socialist or communist countries? No. Geez, wonder why. But what about Kamala Harris's biggest political liability? We know what her vulnerability is. It is immigration and the southern border. And surely Mr. Walz is all about protecting the southern border, right? Wrong. Listen and watch.
And I think seeing a plan that's out there, talking about it with folks, knowing that he's not going to do anything. You know, he talks about this wall. I always say, let me know how high it is. If it's 25 feet, then I'll invest in the 30-foot ladder factory. That's not how you stop this.
Weird. It's almost as if the man thinks national security is like a game of chutes and ladders. Remember that board game, especially with the really long ladder that got you almost all the way to the top? But what about gender identity and that absurdity? I think the Trump campaign was expecting this, and they were ready for this pick. Because as soon as Walz was confirmed by CNN and the Associated Press that he would be Harris's VP, they rolled out this ad, and here is where the Minnesota governor stands when it pertains to men being in women's safe spaces. Listen and watch this.
What could be weirder than signing a bill into law that requires schools to stock tampons in boys' bathrooms? Or weirder than signing legislation allowing minors to receive sex change operations? Try electing the man who signed those bills, Vice President of the United States. Enter Chief Weirdo Tim Walz. As governor of Minnesota, Walz supported legislation that endangers minors, hurts women, and puts radical ideology ahead of common sense. Now Kamala wants Walz to enforce those laws on a national scale. Tim Walz, too weird, too radical.
This is also a man that signed legislation that says you can castrate your child at any age, and if you don't acknowledge their gender change, the state can take your kid away from you. I also wonder if he was at the Olympics watching men punch women in the face on the global stage. But I'm sure I'm the weird one for finding that sort of brutality wrong. But his wife, the First Lady of Minnesota, might be the queen of all weirdos, and she might need clinical help. Here was his wife during the BLM riots in Minneapolis, soaking in the scent. Listen and watch this.
I would say those first days, you know, when there were riots, I could smell the burning tires. And that was a very real thing. And I kept the windows open for as long as I could because I felt like that was such a touchstone of what was happening.
That right there, folks, is Donald Trump's worst nightmare on election day at the ballots. A female like that. You can take that to the bank. She kept the windows open. Weird. Michelle Tafoya, longtime Minnesota resident and former sportscaster for NBC, now out of mainstream media and broadcasting from a conservative perspective, said the following. Quote, I have lived in Minnesota since 1994. It has gone from being one of the safest, prettiest places to live to under Waltz, one of the saddest. Police morale has plummeted. More people have left than have moved in. He let our cities burn, has lost over $500 million of taxpayer money to scandals, blamed the spread of COVID on youth sports, and much more. The country will clearly have a choice between leftism and freedom, end quote. So when you look at Tim Walz, Kamala Harris's vice president selection, you look at his body of work, BLM riots, strict COVID lockdowns and mask mandates, pandemic relief fraud investigations. He's also been involved with interference in police shooting cases. This guy is exactly what most Americans want no part of. A power-hungry, rules for thee but not for me, left-wing loon. But I don't think the apple falls far from the political tree. Or, in the words of Kamala Harris, perhaps that's a coconut. Harris and Walz, weird and weirder, left and lefter. Is the honeymoon over? Not if you look at the Leocora Center last night. We'll see, but for now, maybe it lingers another 10 days or so until the convention in Chicago, and then when the pro-Palestinian protests come. More on that coming up in a little bit. I do think the honeymoon will be officially over. But the Trump campaign, in my opinion, just got another injection of energy after what even Vivek Ramaswamy said last night on television. It's been a rough 14 days for the Trump campaign, as we had to live through the Harris media spin cycle. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning. If you want to jump in, thoughts and reactions, you can certainly do so. 855-839-1210. On social media at 1210WPHT. The YouTube chat as well. And you can leave us your voice messages on the Odyssey voice machine. Just go to the Odyssey app, hit the little microphone next to the Listen Live tab, and we will play the best ones coming up at 9:40 this morning. We'll come back, get everybody's thoughts and reaction to a busy, busy, busy day. A day in which J.D. Vance was almost drowned out. It's Kale and Company live here on a Wednesday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Two things were in play here yesterday. One, I think Tim Walz being nominated and selected as Kamala Harris's running mate, solidifying the Harris-Walz ticket, is truly a gift to Republicans and a gift to the GOP. But that's a separate thing from what we saw yesterday with the energy in Philadelphia at the Leocora Center at Temple University. And I think you have to separate the two. And we can get into Walz, and we will, for sure, but also what happened yesterday on North Broad, because I've never seen a Kamala Harris event that actually had that level of juice. The Leocora Center holds about 10,000 people.
12.
Is it 12?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
The 6ABC story had 10, but then again, it could very well be 12. But bottom line, that arena was packed.
It was.
Packed. I mean, it had almost Trump-like vibes as far as energy goes. You throw in Shapiro, you throw Sherelle Parker, you throw Fetterman. You know, everybody of relevance for that side of the political aisle was there. And I thought Shapiro, A, was very professional. Kind of a lesson for life. If you want to burn a bridge, knock yourself out. But if you don't get to where you want to get to in the heart of your career, don't burn a bridge. Shapiro easily was the better choice, in my opinion. Kamala Harris, I think, bent the knee to the far left. But I got to tell you, and I flipped on Fox, and then they cut out of the five, and they were showing Shapiro's speech. And I'm telling you, he owned the moment. He owned. Doesn't matter if you like him. Doesn't matter if you like his policies. Doesn't matter if you like what he has to say. But the presentation, especially for an administration right now of Biden, Harris, the binder, they are god-awful public speakers. Mm-hmm. That is not the case with Josh Shapiro. I thought he was great yesterday. I thought it was going to be a tough act for Harris and Walz to follow. We can get into some of the specifics for sure. But, Dawn, just your impressions yesterday, as obviously you were on when Vance was getting ready, and just kind of taking in an entire big day here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, big things happen in Philadelphia. You know, we think about being, you know, for us, a local story, but we were the national story yesterday. Right. Everybody, all the national media was here. And you think about how important everybody, look at it not from, I mean, it's hard because we're local. It's hard to think of how everybody else is looking at it. But clearly, Democrats and Republicans believe that we here in Pennsylvania are the key to the White House.
And I think a lot of people are right when they say that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, why else? You know, they're all here. Why would Harris, even though, and I still wonder, were they planning this just because of Pennsylvania's importance and that Philadelphia delivers?
Well, they're doing.
Were they planning this? You know what I mean?
They're doing a tour of swing states. They're going to like seven stops in 5 days or something like that.
Right.
They're going to Wisconsin. They're going to Michigan. They're going all over the place.
And they canceled the North Carolina stuff that was due for, I think, tomorrow because of obviously the remnants of Debbie,
weather.
the tropical storm. So they did cancel NC. But I was asking Phil Almquist, we were at the coffee machine. I said, Phil, is there a concert? Because he's our, you know, music czar over here. But I said, besides Greg, I said, is there a concert that you can think of where the warm-up act was, you know, just so much better and blew the main act out of the water? That's how I felt.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, watching Shapiro.
Mm-hmm.
And then even Sherelle Parker, she was on with Jake Tapper on CNN.
Fake strapper.
I got a kick. I did get, and Jake is a local guy. I did get a kick out of her. And she, didn't?
No. I'm just like, the Josh Shapiro thing, he's an Obama wannabe. And you can hear it in his voice. Mm-hmm. He has the same affect of it. He's trying to be him. His voice was cracking yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it.
That's the way he speaks, Greg.
That's
the way he speaks. No. Okay, I will say the GSD, I'm going to get show done, like how you said. That whole thing that he says, and it got a huge round of applause, that's just not him. And I think that's what you're reacting to, Greg Stocker.
No, he's the chameleon, right?
He's not a chameleon.
You don't think
so? He's trying to be hip and stuff like that.
Hang on. Can we do, Phil, can you pull up cut 13 here? Like this, if you can't listen to this clip and say,
close your eyes while you hear this.
He's trying to be Obama.
Right.
Like, I just, you know, cut 13, Phil, if you can right now, go.
Each of us has a responsibility to get off the sidelines, to get in the game, and to do our part. Are you ready?
It's the ascension. It's the extension of each word.
Are you ready to form a more perfect union?
His voice is crazy.
Yeah.
Are you ready to build an America where no matter what you look like, where you come from, who you love, or who you pray to, that this will be a place for you?
Mm-hmm. I feel it. I see it.
If you're watching on YouTube,
the next president of the United States in the eye and say, hello, Madam President.
He's like going through puberty.
Like Peter Brady.
Yeah. I was just going to say Peter Brady. But like even his motions, even the way he tilts his head, he's just trying to be Obama.
Right.
Yeah, but isn't just, any...
It's nauseating.
Isn't every Democrat younger guy... Isn't Obama the ultimate?
He's their God.
Right?
He's their higher power. Yes.
But it's not, you don't hear people, like, okay, it's one thing to adopt his policies or his, you know, maybe his, but he's doing his cadence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's trying to sound like him.
Yes.
It's just, there's something
so... But I think it will work. I mean, in 2028, whether Kamala has served a first term or it's the end of a second Trump term, I mean, he's going to be the guy. I have no doubt in my mind his approval rating in Pennsylvania, no matter what you want to say, is about 60%. I think he's far more liked in his own state that he governs than Tim Walz is.
I think that they looked at Pennsylvania as a a state that Kamala Harris can win with or without Josh Shapiro.
I agree.
I think that they're looking at Walz for other. See, the difference between those two, in my opinion, between Walz and look, I know nothing about him. All I know about him is, you know, what's come out. And anybody else who says they've been following his career is lying.
No.
So what I saw yesterday in just that appearance was Josh Shapiro, who's trying to be a politician. He's trying to be Obama. And I saw Walz, who I felt was like a, I don't know, like a folksy.
That's what, yeah. That's why I said
uncle or something.
That's why
I
said he comes off as a Midwestern schlub that just to me is, and here's the sources that back up what I'm saying. It's not just my reaction of what I see visually, because look, optics shouldn't matter. It's about, can you actually govern? Are your policies effective? And then the other nonsense about speeches and how tall you are and all this other crap. But some of the sources are saying that Kamala Harris was afraid that Josh Shapiro would steal her spotlight and also alienate the anti-Israeli progressives. This is sources according to the New York Post that said Shapiro said Harris and her, quote, exceptionally strong VP pick, Tim Walz, had his, quote, enthusiastic support. And he says his work is far from finished. He's going to help over the next 90 days. But political consultant Hank Scheinkopf told the Post that Shapiro was, quote, too hot to pick as Harris's running mate because of his pro-Israel record, and that Walz was a closer, safer pick. The ticket would have been too pro-Israel. Harris doesn't need a battle over Israel and Gaza. And then he goes on to talk about how, basically, he would steal the spotlight and the shine from Kamala. So what do? You grab the guy that you know is not a threat to your throne. That, to me, is Tim Walz right there. Happy to be there. He's out there clapping, smiling, laughing. Took whatever medication Kamala takes before she starts going into a giggle fest. The whole thing. And they came out to Beyonce's Freedom song yesterday. And pick up on the words, because words mean the world to the left. They're now using the word freedom. They've kind of pivoted away from threat to democracy and dictator on day one. You'll still hear that. But they're using the words freedom. So they were using freedom under the guise of abortion, female reproductive rights, freedom of your body. But you can easily, if you're trying to counter-program that word freedom from the right, so it's what, freedom to castrate children, yet you don't have the freedom, or they tried to take away your freedom to vote for Trump. They took away your freedom to vote for Joe Biden because they said, I don't care that 95% of you want Joe. He's out. We're kicking him to the curb. It's interesting that they're talking freedom, vaccine mandates, mask mandates, freedom of speech. A lot of these freedoms have been tightened up and kind of restricted by the party that is saying this election is about freedom. So I think that's something that you should pick up on in the next couple of weeks as they talk more and more and this honeymoon phase goes on, Dawn. They're using freedom. And I think if you look at the facts, you have far more freedoms under Trump.
Yeah.
Just my assumption.
Yeah. And the other criticism, I will say, of Tim Walz, we talked about this yesterday, that, oh, he served in the National Guard. You had James Carville going on national shows last night saying, this is a combat veteran. And that's one of their talking points that they're trying to match up with J.D. Vance, who we know his story. He signed up after 9/11, like so many people who felt called to service and went to the combat zone and faced that. But they were very quick to come out, and the New York Post among them, but there were many former non-commissioned officers who may have served with him and others who went to Iraq. They claim that Walz did serve in the National Guard.
Yes.
He did, and he absolutely did. But
he quit
right before he was supposed to go to Iraq.
Yeah,
they said slithered out.
We have, I will play coming up at 7:45, the man who replaced Governor Walz on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
He claims that he started a political career off a position he didn't earn in the military because he quit.
Yes.
So that's coming up at 7:45.
Right. So is this Paul Herr or Thomas Behrens, Sergeant Major?
Essentially, he bailed on war to run for office.
That's what the claim here, and it's from more than one military, you know, somebody who served with him.
And just to highlight some of this guy's absurdities, he also, I saw this story from Reason.com. quote, he even defended Minnesota's ridiculous hotline for COVID-19 snitches. That's right. Walz's government maintained a method for people to report their neighbors for failing to abide by COVID rules, such as social distancing, and also if you left your house with a mask not on your face. Are we real? I mean, seriously, you think
so? Brother.
I mean, really? Hey, yeah, this is Bill at 1910 Quarter Mile Road. Susie just left her house and she didn't have her mask on. Thank you very much, Bill. We'll look into it. That mean that's what we're looking at here. We've got left and we've got lefter. We've got insanity from San Francisco, California, and Minneapolis, Minnesota. And if you're paying attention to some of the primaries, I don't know if this is a true indicator of what happens this fall, but now in 2 months, two squad Dems have been ousted. Jamal Bowman, who we know, Mr. Fire Alarm Puller, he lost his primary in New York last month. And last night, Cori Bush, squad Dem, you've heard her on the cut sheet from the St. Louis, Missouri area, she got absolutely blown out in her primary as Wesley Bell beat her 55% to 42% and had 7,000 more votes than her. So if you're if you've got your squad Dem bingo card up, it almost looks like a 9/11 terrorist watch list where once they kill the government kills a terrorist, they put the big red X through them. Jamal Bowman out, Cori Bush out. I think AOC got reelected last month. And you have to wonder, who's the next one to go? Is it Omar? Is it Tlaib? Big picture takeaway, are the squad Dems losing steam? Which is interesting because Kamala Harris has basically selected a governor who, when you look at his policies, would fit right in with the squad Dems.
Give it to the Democrat voters, though. They're the ones purging the squad from the party. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can say what you want about the Democrats, but it seems to me from these primaries that are happening that they're not happy with the direction the Democrats are going in, and they don't want squad members in
right.
there. So, you know, like, I don't know. Is this the kind of straightening of that line? Who knows?
It's a very interesting point, but it also could go to show you that Kamala let her ego get in the way and misread the room. If Democrats are starting to abandon the squad, you selected Walz. If Democrats want more moderate to liberal policies, Shapiro would have been the guy. But of course, you allow the anti-Israel sentiment, which, as I said yesterday, when the news broke around 8:45, 8:50 yesterday, and Dawn reported as we wrapped up the cut sheet, if Josh Shapiro is of any other nationality or religion, I think he's the pick today. I really believe that. If he's Indian, if he's Italian, if he's Irish, if he's German, I really do believe it's further proof that it's anti-Semitism running amok with the left. So 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. We'll come back, wrap up the 6 o'clock hour on the other side. And what factor was Fetterman in all of this? He was there yesterday.
He was.
He put on a good show. But apparently there's a years-old beef and a squabble between John and Josh. Did that factor in to Kamala's decision? It's Kale and Company, back after this.
Yeah, first, we've just got to talk about our friends from Piazza Auto Group. Love Piazza. And even though it's been rainy and we had some flooding this morning, you know, these summertime road trips coming to an end, no time like the present. Get back out on the roads for that summer road trip, the final one for this last month of summer. My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're always going to help you find that luxury vehicle you've been eyeing. And yes, Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles from some of the most beautiful, powerful, sleek vehicles on our roadways right now. Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Jaguar, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, and so much more. Just visit PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. You can always stop by one of their Pennsylvania, Delaware, or New Jersey dealers. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
According to Politico, Senator John Fetterman's advisors reportedly badmouthed his home state governor, Josh Shapiro, to Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign amidst the entire Veep sweepstakes buzz leading up to yesterday. Fetterman's beef with Shapiro dates back to a lengthy rivalry, which I was not privy to, that the duo had over the years, and his concerns that the governor, Josh Shapiro, focuses too much on his own ambitions, according to Politico, specifically the two feuded together during their time aboard Pennsylvania's Board of Pardons, where Fetterman was often more inclined to dish out leniency, which I do think is interesting because Fetterman was there as well yesterday. Mm-hmm. By the way, the only guy not in a suit, the only gal not in a suit. And when Fetterman came out with the black hoodie and the cargo shorts, you know what it looked like? It looked like a guy showing up for PennDOT to fix like a repair tire. Like you got all these indignitaries and these higher up, as Dawn would say, the biggity big. And now here comes Fetterman waddling out in his cargo shorts and his Carhartt hoodie on a very, very big day. So I think that's interesting. And Don, I'm not sure if you agree, because Fetterman has been very, very, and he's a self-proclaimed progressive. But since his stroke, he's slid a little bit away from the progressives. And since October 7th, he's been one of the few who has been very, very pro-Israel. Yet when it matters most, he's not riding with Shapiro, who's pro-Israel. He's telling Kamala, avoid him. I think that's a very interesting pivot for a guy who in the last 9 months, Republicans are like, hey, Fetterman's kind of making sense as he recovers.
Yeah, doesn't this feud go back? It goes back to that clemency board. It
goes back 30 years almost.
Because I think that for Fetterman, what he did not like about Shapiro is that Shapiro is not a far left progressive, as far left certainly as Fetterman, or certainly not as much as, you know, the top of the ticket now with Kamala Harris mm-hmm. and Walz, who are extremely left, extremely progressive. And I'll point out to you that did not win. That did not win with Mayor Sherelle Parker.
That's right. Right. Helen Gim was rejected.
Yep. And mm-hmm. and remember Sherelle, you know, Sherelle is somebody who said, get back to work.
Great point.
Philadelphia, just recently, everything, clean up Kensington. They showed up an hour early. Mm-hmm. Within like 2 hours, they had all the trucks, yep. garbage trucks, clean that up. So Shapiro represents, you know, a part of the party that has been more law and order, if you're looking at a scale,
sure.
than these others.
Yep.
And so I think it, you know, over the, and also remember that Shapiro battled with our DA, Larry Krasner.
Mm-hmm.
And even more recently, yep. with Shapiro signing into law the SEPTA, the so-called SEPTA prosecutor.
Yep.
And so Shapiro's seen as somebody who's more law and order than a lot of these progressives.
Mm-hmm. Jamal Bowman, Cori Bush, Helen Gim, a lot of this left-wing nonsense is being rejected. We know it's failed policy-wise. In practice, in real life society, we're seeing it in primaries be denounced. The only question is, will it be denounced November 5th at the top of the ticket in the big election that will decide everything? We will find out in just about 89 days. Kale and Company Hour 2 is on the way as we continue next here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.